stay in your chairs, jump up, grab your picket signs, hit the streets, head for Washington, head for Sacramento, stay in Santa Cruz, whatever you do, but stay tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Coming up next, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. Half an hour of homeless hoo-ha. No, actually, that's 2 hours of homeless hoo-ha. We'll do half an hour, then we'll do another hour and a half. So stay tuned, 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Rosenberg, Zitzbaum, Sugar Ray, Penwood, John Randall, the King and I, and the catcher in the right. Eisenhower vaccine, England's got a new queen. Marciano, Liberace, Santayana, goodbye.
We didn't start the fire. There was always money since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. No, we didn't write it, but we tried to write it.
Joseph Stalin, Alan Carr, Nasser, and Prokofiev, Rockefeller, Campanella, communist bloc. Roy Cohn, Walter Ron, Toscanini, Dacron, Din Din, Foo Falls, rock around the clock. Einstein, James Dean, Brooklyn's got a winning team. Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Fargo, Budapest, Alabama, Khrushchev, Prince's Place, Caton Place, trouble in the Suez.
We didn't start the fire. There's always murder since the world's been turned. We didn't start the fire. But we did.
Coming up on the 12th and the 13th in court?
Yep, 13th for the standing within 10 feet from the California Highway Patrol.
Right.
And the 12th for the sleeping.
And the both at one.
Thank you. I'm myself here. So, have you complained yet to the California Highway Patrol about this?
No, I haven't complained to anybody.
Tell me about the sleeping ticket. Where did you get it and when? What happened?
Oh, it was, I don't know, a couple months ago, I think.
Last month.
And it was the same guys that gave me my first ticket for selling papers, but they dropped that one, so they followed us to camp and figured they'd give me one if they know it would stick.
And that's an interview you are about to hear with street spirit vendor Frank Ross. Frank was ticketed for selling a paper on Ocean Avenue, a homeless newspaper. He was given a somewhat gentler version of what Steve Argue got. Steve Argue was thrown to the ground, dragged off to jail, held there for 3 days, and released without charges after the felony charge was dropped. Felonious free paper selling, we're not sure what it's all about. But the ticket against Frank Ross, well, one of the tickets against Frank Ross, is still standing and going to court. Actually, two of them are. One on the 12th and one on the 13th of January. One concerns selling a paper, and that's a ticket by the California Highway Patrol, based on a Santa Cruz code section. And the other is based on another, more infamous Santa Cruz code section called the sleeping ban. Now, for those of you who just tuned in and wonder what the heck I'm talking about, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm your host, Robert North, on Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, and we're talking about civil rights for poor people. You may have seen something in the paper lately about the camping ban, as they call it, which is the Sentinel's way of kind of sneering at the sleeping ban law that institutionalizes injustice against poor people in Santa Cruz and has for the last 20 years, which we so far unsuccessfully have asked the City Council to do something about. Every single speaker, without exception, opposed this crazy law, which made it illegal and makes it illegal to sleep outside after 11 o'clock at night until 8:30 in the morning. A $162 fine is prescribed under the current bail schedule. Do it twice within 48 hours, and that's a misdemeanor up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. Your vehicle can be towed, but most important, you are insecure and unsafe wherever you go because you are in the situation where you have to worry about a police officer's banging on your van, ripping into your tent, rousting you from a bush or from the side of the riverside or under a bridge. If you happen to be in the situation where you're sleeping outside, as 80% of the homeless population of Santa Cruz's 500 to 1,500 homeless people are. So that's the context for this interview with Frank Ross. Frank is a homeless man who was sleeping when his campsite was rousted by Parks and Rec Rangers. Earlier, a Parks and Rec ranger gave him a ticket for selling a paper, but we were able to get that ticket dismissed. We're still trying to get the sleeping ticket dismissed. I spoke to Jim Lang of the Parks and Rec Department today. He was still investigating the ticket. And I must say, he did call back promptly. He told me the report of what the Parks and Rec ranger said about the ticket, and they claimed that the Frank's dog led these rangers to the site. It was a messy site that he said he would stay overnight there and therefore was violating Section C of the camping ban, Section C of the first part of the camping ban, which makes it illegal to set up an established campsite. So we have Frank going to trial on the 12th and the 13th on that charge, and the second charge is selling a paper. And the paper charge comes not from the Parks and Rec, which dropped that ticket, but from the California Highway Patrol. And in the past, we have played the interview with Frank about how that developed. We're going to play you now the interesting context around which the sleeping ticket that Frank got developed. Frank is one of many people in Santa Cruz who have been rousted by the police for essentially, well, in fact, innocent behavior, sleeping. People have to do it. Everybody knows it. But the city council seems to still feel they're going to have to talk about it for 2 months before they can allow people to sleep. So everybody get your toothpicks ready and prop up your eyelids, because the city council says no sleeping till February at the earliest. We're hoping, of course, that people won't tolerate that. We're hoping that you're going to once more rev up your telephones and get ready to call 429-3550 and then push the pound key. Even if you've done this two or three times before, give them the date. Say today is December 17th. Tomorrow is the day that the sleeping ban should end. But since you're a little slow on this, call a special session of the City Council as fast as you can, put it on the agenda, and perhaps the police will begin to get the message, because they're not getting the message now for damn sure. And we're going to talk more about that as we go into the show, that there have been continued ticketing, continued harassment of homeless people in spite of Mayor Byers' very tepid, lukewarm measure that there should be ticketing on complaint wherever reasonable or practicable, ticketing on warning whenever possible. Apparently, there are a number of police officers who are simply not taking that to heart, as most of us knew would be the case, unless there were some real strict guidelines put in play, like council member and Vice Mayor Keith Sugar had suggested, which is requiring a valid health and safety concern for there to be any kind of hassle for people for sleeping or covering up with blankets. Actually, a valid health and safety concern is always, particularly if it's codified in the law, a valid reason for a police officer to look into something. But covering up with blankets and sleeping obviously is not. Let's continue, though, with this interview with Frank Ross. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we got this interview. The incident in question happened in November, and he is going to trial for it on January 12th and again on January 13th.
The same officers? Yeah. They're talking about rangers?
Yeah, same rangers, yeah.
And was it the ranger, same officer, Olden, I think his name
yeah,
was?
Yeah, same one, yeah, ranger. Dow and Olden, yeah.
Dow and Olden. Are you prepared to file a complaint about that?
Well, I'm going to see what they do in court first, okay, on my trial.
You want me to take it to Parks and Rec Lang and talk to him?
Yeah, see what they say.
And what we are hearing here, of course, for those of you just tuned in, is that Frank Ross, who got a sleeping ticket and a ticket for selling a newspaper, because the Parks and Rec's newspaper ticket was bounced out by the head of their department, Jim Lang, they went after him several days later to give him a sleeping ticket to show him who was boss, the same two rangers. I brought this case to Jim Lang. He's studying it, and we'll see whether he takes some action to see that this whole thing is dismissed, and moreover, that these rangers are retrained and disciplined to know in certain terms for this kind of behavior. As I always say in such cases, don't hold your breath.
I'm just going to say that they just put me in jail. I don't give a shit.
This story is going to be in the next issue of Street Spirit, by the way. We did an article on your situation. Have you been selling the paper regularly?
No, because I've been trying to fight these tickets and doing all this stuff. I got poison oak really bad, so I've been out of work for like a week.
What kind of work do you normally do?
Appliance repair. I used to be the Lonely Maytag repairman about 10 months ago.
Now you're Santa's helper with that little cap of yours.
Yeah.
So, you're going to come to City Hall tomorrow? You're going to be there as we try to overturn the sleeping ban?
I'll try. What time is it going to be?
It starts at 6:30 when we have hot food. Then at 7 o'clock, we're going to go into City Council and tell them what we feel about sleeping, whether it should be legal. That you can't arrest people who have no legal place to sleep outside.
And I'm talking about the City Council meeting December 8th that we went to.
Basic need.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody can snatch no go to sleep.
What's your name?
My name is Meredith. I have a dog, and I can't take my dog to the shelter. I can't take him to the armory. I can't sign up for the church group. So where am I supposed to sleep at? You know, and they gave me a ticket, too, and they gave Frank one for sleeping in the park. And then they said they could give us a ticket for five other things, like we were cooking food, so we could get a ticket for cooking, for smoking cigarettes, for drinking a beer, and for being in the park after 4 o'clock, and for having the dog off the leash. But they only gave us a ticket for sleeping, so clearly they were doing it to harass him, because they followed us all day long to see where we were going.
And they follow her, too, all the time. They've been following her, trying to find a new camp spot.
When is the last time you saw these two park rangers?
It was like 3 days ago, and I was walking down the railroad tracks to try to get to camp, and I saw them drive by me, so I turned down the street and went down the Highway 9. So they made a U-turn, they followed me down Highway 9, so I cut into a little path, and they went around, when they went around a bend, but they turned around and came back when I was coming out of the path to get to my camp spot, and they followed me again, so I ducked into another path to wait for them to leave. It took me like an hour to be able to finally start walking to my camp, because they kept harassing me, following me.
How long have you been in town?
I've been here for a month.
Yeah, about the same day we got here.
Would you come together? Did you meet here?
I met him after he'd been here a few days.
And is he treating you right?
Yeah, he's a good friend.
Is she treating you right?
Yeah.
I'll have to agree on that. Yeah. It looks like the police aren't treating either of you right.
No, they're not. I mean, my dog can't go anywhere.
What's your dog's name?
His name is Rebel. And it's like they're discriminating against him because he has four legs and fur. And that's not right. I can't walk him downtown. I can only have him on Front Street. One time I was panhandling over down by Front Street, and the cop comes up to me and goes, "You can't panhandle with a dog, and you can't panhandle after dark." And I'm like, "Excuse me, I'm not allowed to eat after dark, and my dog is supposed to sit somewhere else while I panhandle? What is this law? Where is it?"
So now, there's some people who would say, what are you, a person without permanent lodging, doing with a dog? I mean, isn't that a luxury? Being the devil's advocate.
Okay, being the devil's advocate, I'll tell you what. I walked down here from Oregon because I ran away from a battered situation. My husband was beating me up. He was beating my dog. I wasn't going to leave my dog there to get beat. I found him in a dumpster, and he was a little baby. I've had him for 4 years. I'm not going to go put him to sleep either like some sick people do just to get a place to live. It's not a luxury. It's a therapy. He's my best friend. My son died in a car accident when he just turned 18, and I found the dog 2 years later. So this is my therapy. It's not luxury. It's something that's keeping me sane and keeping me from killing myself.
So, you know that the sleeping ban is coming up at City Council tomorrow night, at least some instructions about how the police should lay off homeless people. Does that interest you? Are you likely to be at that council meeting?
Only if I'm not on TV, because I know I'm filed as a missing person. That's why I didn't give you my last name.
Well, you can do, if you stay outside, there usually won't be TV cameras around. Although, if the TV cameras come in, they usually take pictures of the inside of the City Hall. But, you know, you should use your own discretion.
Okay, then I'll be there if they don't film me.
Yeah.
All right, well, look.
I could care less if they film me, man.
Would you two like to file a complaint with the Citizens Police Review Board about how you've been treated?
As long as they don't harass us. I mean, they'll retaliate, most likely.
It's not clear what they would do, but, you know, it's possible.
We've got to stay here again, because we didn't want to be here.
You don't have to stay here. You can file a report and leave.
We wanted to get those ticket situation all taken care of so we can leave free.
Right.
You know, if I leave now, they're going to arrest me for a failure to appear. But so I'm actually a political prisoner here.
Well, if you call me up, you know my number, 423-HUFF. Call me up and we'll go down to the Citizens Police Review Board together. These are supposedly the citizens, not the police. And you file a complaint. And they won't do shit about it, really. What they do is it goes on their record. You know, and that's what counts, because in the future, then if other people get harassed, eventually the paperwork mounts up. That's the theory.
Well, we'll
actually
do that, Dan.
If you call me up, we'll do it. What's my number?
423-HUFF.
423-HUFF.
Hey. All right.
And so far we haven't got any call, but we are available. That is, I am available at that number. And if anyone else has a problem with tickets in terms of accounts you want to give to Free Radio Santa Cruz, or more confidential accounts simply for the record as to the fact that you've been harassed for sleeping, or any kind of other police abuse, you could either call me at 423-HUFF and I will try to at least talk to you about it and see what happened, keep some note of it, and maybe mention it on this radio show on 96.3 FM, or you can call SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, at 475-2012. That is also a citizen group concerned with police misconduct. Nutcracker Nick Whitehead is a good man on that beat and has been doing that kind of work for about 8 years. Again, these are very small-scale, individual, volunteer efforts. And what we need, of course, is a complete new deal downtown in the middle of the city government so that there's a real reign of tolerance. And more than that, we need a renaissance in Santa Cruz. And I'm hoping at some point with this new city council, which has a progressive majority, Fitzmaurice, Crone, Sugar, and Byers are the so-called and hopeful progressive majority. Or some people are hopeful about it anyway. I'm hoping to remain hopeful. At some point, they are supposed to return, and in February, we're going to have them talk about the camping ban, which is their way of talking about the larger law, which includes the sleeping ban, the blanket ban, and restrictions on camping. So, I don't think we really have time to wait until February. I think we have freezing weather now. I think we had 156 or 57 dead people in San Francisco, up 50% from a year ago. I think we have dying people in Santa Cruz and people in danger. I've brought this to Councilmember Crone on Tuesday. I've brought it to the what's called the Pusser, Gordon Pusser, I guess his name is, a subcommittee, and they're actually concerned about it. They're a group of private citizens, not really a subcommittee, who are concerned about shelter issues and 24-hour bathrooms and opening up a car park and opening up a campground and building some kind of facility immediately, and then a longer-range facility over the securing a facility immediately and then building a larger facility over the long run for folks who have no place to be on an emergency basis. A lot of good ideas. The problem, of course, is we have a city council which has chosen to recess for the winter rather than deal with real issues of shelter, and that is really kind of traditional for us. We usually have that kind of city council. The progressive label is all over their name cards, but the progressive measures seem to have to wait. We have an incoming call. That's the phone line. We're actually getting a ding-ding here. Hang on.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
Politics aside?
Yes.
It's almost impossible to say nowadays, isn't it? The sleeping ban portion of the camping ordinance really is a pet ordinance of the police department. It's a tool for them to just use as a dragnet to catch whatever they might catch. And almost like they used it in the late fall, I mean the early fall this year, almost like a speed trap where they caught a whole bunch of students that hadn't found housing yet and made the coffers of the city fatter, supposedly. But the reality of the situation is that the sleeping ban actually costs the city quite a bit of money. And I think we can make it cost them more if, from what I'm reading in some of these federal regulations, I got a lot of material, this is David Silva, the Committee of Appeals Sleeping Ban, a lot of material from SAMFAR, and I'm reading it that even some of their grants for these new police and the cops grants and so forth really are subject to question if they're going to be using the police to enforce things like the sleeping ban. And I think that's where you're going to hit them. It seems the politics is too fluid and flexible in this town to get them to sit down and agree to any one solid thing. I think we have to take the police budget away from them through the courts, and that's a long, long process. Meanwhile, if we can get anything out of them, let's push as hard as we can. You know, obviously, the common ground that we all agree, business, residents, and homeless alike, is restrooms, public restrooms. We need to get those on the agenda by January 12th, not February.
Oh, actually, I've heard some good things around that, David. I don't want to be entirely negative because... I did hear there was a scan. I'm not sure if it's a scan, but a meeting of the candidates' backers who backed the three successful candidates, those who are...
The Campaign Workers' Circle?
Campaign Workers' Circle, that's a good way of putting it. They met last night, and I guess I spoke to Fred Geiger, who kind of gave a report on this whole meeting, and he reported that with council members Crone and Sugar there, and those are the two probably most liberal members of the city council, at least who expressed that on the sleeping ban issue, they, and on I guess, public decriminalization of the poor in public spaces, they indicated, according to Geiger, that there would be, I hope I'm not misquoting him, this is what I understood him to say, there will be porta-potties open downtown within a week.
Great.
Which I think is a good thing and a step forward and something there to be commended for. And, you know, that's long overdue.
I mean, that's addressing the problems that already exist. It's not a question of any new problems by repealing any sleeping ban. It's a question that you know, people have had to defecate all along when they're homeless.
It's important, David, because as you know, the San Jose Mercury News came out with a smear against people who want to restore human rights with the old poo-poo story again. They run these poo-poo stories regularly to show how the homeless are just undisciplined and have bowel problems and just won't wipe their butts.
Well, when I read that article, one of my first reactions was to call Cynthia Matthews, who has always been concerned about downtown issues, and I asked her what she thought about, porta potties, 24-hour toilets, and public restrooms, and she said she's all for it.
Well,
so I think that's a possibility of a new coalition we got. Maybe we'll have some action January 12th, but I think to get something on the agenda, you and I have learned that we have to do a lot of pressure, and so we need people to really start participating just when they least want to in this Christmas season.
You can begin by participating right now by going to your phone, even as you're listening to the radio, and call this number, 429-3550, and then push the pound key. That will put you through to the City Council 24-hour message line, at which point you should say, of course, end the sleeping ban, put it on the January 12th agenda. You should say, if you want, set up a campground or open up a car park so people could have some place to sleep safely in the winter while warm liberals are debating this in the comfort of their own well-heated homes. That would be nice as well. But the key phrase, I guess, I tell people to say is end the sleeping ban and put it on the agenda. I should say, however, David, that I had some disquieting news from the Peace and Freedom Party worker Bernard Klitzner, mm-hmm. who apparently contacted the City Council staff today and learned that they were told that they had not been told even to tally up the number of votes for and against the sleeping ban, which, of course, would, I think, be like a 50-1 in favor of ending the sleeping ban.
They should have noticed that they were ordered to take such actions in December 8th vote that was taken by the City Council. The staff was ordered to begin making record of all contacts. Now, whether that's the city manager making sure the police does his job, or whether it's the city manager making the city secretary do her job, that's their problem. But they have been ordered to do so.
Well, let's get to find out exactly what they were ordered to do. I have the 8 points that were passed on December 8th. I'm going to read them now. You want me to read them on air or off air? What would you like?
Well, it's not up to me. It's up to your audience. I'm just calling in saying that there's some headway being made, and we need to keep pushing, and obviously, if we can make any economic argument, that's going to be very persuasive.
Go ahead, David,
sign off for now, Robert. I need to sit down.
Go for it, David.
Okay, doke.
All right.
Bye.
And that indeed was David Silva, who is one of the main folks in the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban, which gathered so many signatures and did so much work for the Sleeping Ban Repeal Initiative, which set the stage for the fall campaigns when almost every major progressive organization endorsed the Sleeping Ban repeal, and every single candidate who did that also won. Every candidate was endorsed by organizations who also said end the sleeping ban, and of course they haven't done that yet, and they haven't even put it on their agenda yet. And so I'm telling you that I guess David is telling you something similar. We need to step up the pressure. You need to call City Council and tell them, make sure they tally these yes and no votes. Say end the sleeping ban when you call in at 429-3550 and push the pound key. And then say end the sleeping ban, and can you please make sure that the City Council staff is tallying these results so the public can know what is going on. Now, I promised I was going to read what item 31 as modified actually gave us from the Santa Cruz City Council on December 8th. They passed the following 8 measures. They read as follows. For the coming year, the Council shall receive a monthly report on the demand for shelter services and the number of beds available countywide for those without shelter and the level of support services provided by other jurisdictions. So it's monthly report time. Keep your eyes tuned to the monthly report. 2. Survey churches in the area to see if they would allow limited numbers of people who live in their vehicles to park in church parking lots according to Section 6.36.020 of the Municipal Code. This, of course, refers to the minor exception to the sleeping ban passed in 1995 by the City Council, which allows churches to permit 3 vehicles per church parking lot in their church. I know only about 4 or 5 churches have ever done this, and that's a total of 15 vehicles out of, I would assume at least 100 in Santa Cruz, and several hundred people sleeping in the vehicular population, which probably amounts to about 35% of the entire homeless population. So it's not much, and this point number 2, it was passed by the City Council on December 8th, asking that they survey the churches, ain't much either. Again, surveys, reports, studies, but no action. Number 3. Request staff to report back as to the prospects of improving armory shelter services by providing more transportation options or other measures, and directing the mayor and staff to contact legislators regarding the use of the armories with reduced fees, year-round use, hours of operation, and maintenance issues as the highest priority. Of course, this one descends into gobbledygook pretty fast. Anything that talks about contacting the legislators in Sacramento, you know it's not going to happen for a long time. I suppose we might say there's a new governor coming in, so maybe something will happen around the armory. The problem with the armory are pretty clear. We're actually going to play an interview, as soon as I finish reading this set of points that was passed, of 2 folks who rejected the armory and why they rejected it, why they decided they would rather take their chances in the bushes, even with the police running around, still beating the bushes. I'm sorry, Mayor Byers, still beating the bushes, still pursuing homeless people to the bridges and under the bridges, still pursuing people into the neighborhoods and out into the industrial areas where there aren't really, can't conceivably be real complaints, where we were successfully able to beat back this idea of posting all the streets with no parking signs at night. That idea was successfully beaten back, which was being floated by the police department officer Barry through the public works department. It was beaten back. But the cops are out there with their ticket books anyway. They're not going to say uncle on this issue. They're continuing to harass. So reports about requests for surveys from the churches, reports from the armory, advice to legislators. Again, this is the kind of stuff that Mike Rodkin loves. He's passed these kinds of resolutions for years. Catherine Byers is apparently studying at his knee as far as these first 3 points go. Point 4. Now here we come to something a little different. Direct Mayor Byers and Councilmember Sugar and Crone to review the camping ordinance and report back in February with any recommended changes. The review process shall include meetings with residents, business owners, homeless service providers, and other interested parties. Well, first of all, of course, homeless people aren't mentioned. Why bother to talk to them? I mean, they don't really count in this whole matter, do they? We proposed to the City Council that they modify this resolution, and I'll read you the modifications that I proposed after we finished going through these eight points they actually passed. But, you know, you can see there is no respect. There is no sincere interest in the opinions of homeless people. These council members haven't met with any homeless people in any formal way, or even in any private way in terms of any groups of homeless people, of which there are many. Instead, they went to the most conservative groups of people, the downtown residents and the Pelton Street residents, held closed meetings with them in the last week. This was after the City Council had recessed for the winter without providing an inch more of shelter for any homeless people, without providing any significant protection for homeless people from the police, who continued to bang on the vans and go under the bridges and arrive at the back of the Salvation Army saying, get out of here. All these places, all this standard pattern of harassment continuing. But there is something in this point 4. Of course, they're talking about an examination of the camping ban in February. To me, it's significant that nowhere in this resolution do you see the words sleeping ban. Nowhere in this resolution do you see the words blanket ban. And that can mean one of 2 things. It can mean that they're going to try to avoid it being kind of a cause célèbre, avoid it being an issue of controversy, kind of sort of nudge it past, which I don't necessarily think can fly, or else for some reason they are nervous about even mentioning it because their progressive allies are wondering what the hell they're doing. The unanimous majority, not majority, the unanimous speakers who came to City Council on December 8th all urged that council to do something in the freezing weather to make it legal for people to sleep. And Crone and Sugar were the only ones who attempted to do anything, which was to first to tighten up the police monitoring system by saying you can't go after someone with a blanket or sleeping unless there's a health and safety concern. And that was beaten back by Rotkin and Barisoni with Byer's help. And then Sugar stood his ground and said, good, let's go for an emergency resolution if we need to and have another council session. And that was beaten back with Byers and Fitzmaurice saying no. And they wouldn't even allow that to come up on the January 12th agenda, even on the next regular session of City Council. You know, forget the special session. I mean, let them freeze till the 12th and then bring it up. But no, can't even bring it up on the 12th. So there's some real problems, real serious problems in that group there. And we have been, that is I and others concerned with this issue, and hopefully you out there in Radio Land, have been trying to get the City Council at 429-3550, push the pound key, to hold special sessions, to end the sleeping ban, to expand shelter immediately, and if not, what are your four votes there for? The City Council has 7 members, 4 is a majority. Why aren't you acting? You're warm, you're comfortable, everybody else is freezing who is outside, they're wet, they're not safe. That includes women and children, and you heard of one woman on the air already talking about this. Nothing is being done. This is standard progressive crap. Lots of talk, no action. We are reading through the issues regarding homelessness from the December 8th City Council meeting, which passed essentially as Mayor Byers presented them. She refused to go to any homeless groups, to any homeless advocates groups, to get any kind of input or criticism. She refused to consider any repeal of the sleeping ban or blanket ban. She refused the initiatives of her own progressive wing from Crone and Sugar to get some action. She removed from the City Council's final provisions the words blankets, so that it's become a human right, an empty human right, because there's a law against it, but it's supposedly a human right now, according to our City Council, to sleep at night, but it's also against the law, and the police are also going out and citing people, and they're not being sanctioned for it. But Byers felt that, well, it might be a human right to sleep, it's not a human right to cover up with blankets. Keeping warm is, well, that's a little too far out, you know. I mean, sleeping, I guess, we'll go with that, but covering up with blankets, I mean, you know, that's maybe a little too far. I mean, let's not get too radical here. But the point 4 does talk about examining the camping ban in February. And examining the camping ban in February is a good idea, provided that while you were waiting for this incredible examination to take place, that the patient doesn't die on the table, that we don't lose people, that people's civil rights are not being constantly attacked and ignored and abused during that period of time. And that, unfortunately, is a protection we do not have. And it's a protection that we've seen in the last 10 days since that City Council meeting, that we need it, and we ain't got it. And the really sad thing is that if you bring this to council members Crone and Sugar, they don't want to do anything about it either. That's what I found in the last 10 days. A meeting with council member Crone 2 days ago yielded essentially nothing. I guess... Let's be candid. There seems to be some pressure for 24-hour bathrooms, which I'd like to see, and temporarily, in the interim, open porta-potties in a week. That is good. It's always nice to be able to take a dump in a porta-potty rather than crap, you know, on some street corner or in some bush. First of all, because it makes you feel degraded, but second of all, because it degrades the scene. And third of all, it gives more excuses to bigots like Lee Kornstrom of the San Jose Mercury News to propound his particular brand of poo-poo, which he does so well. There was a Monday column by Lee Kornstrom really vitriolic standard stuff from him, attacking homeless people and attacking council members who were trying to raise minimal concerns. I praised Sugar, and I continue to praise him, this council member who brought up ticketing only on a health or safety concern. But that's no great radical innovation. I mean, it isn't. The sleeping ban being repealed is no great radical innovation. In Santa Cruz, of course, it is, of course, a major innovation. But in anywhere else in the world, they would look at you and blink. Yeah, we let our people sleep. What are we going to do? Run around waking them up? I mean, that Santa Cruz, however, with its apparently has time to take time out from its cafe lattes and its cappuccinos to send the cops out to rouse the poor. It's a commentary on Santa Cruz and on the country, and it's a positive commentary on those of us who've been fighting it and the council that's trying some of it to do something about it, that we're trying to turn the corner on this, but we haven't turned that corner yet. So, point four actually talks about the camping ban, but again, nothing about the sleeping ban, and the sleeping ban, of course, is contained in the camping ban, but nothing until February, and that's really the concern. This is all being put off. Now, there is also a more sinister subtext to all this that some of us are concerned about, which is that the city council is not going in as advocates for this. It is going in with this kind of pose of being objective, looking over the facts, being neutral, open to any new solutions. You know, it will examine the Klan's ideas as well as the UN's ideas in equal measure. This is not, I think, what we elected these people to do. We elected them to pass and rectify a series of abuses, to pass legislation that will rectify certain abuses, to stop the beach boardwalk giveaway, to return the Tidelands property to the people, to pay some attention to the spiraling rents in the city and do something about the profiteering going on there, to set up an open process so that citizens can actually get access to the city council. Well, I'll tell you, the merchants had access to the city council on December 8th. The business community had access to the city council. They didn't speak up at public comment. The only speakers at the public comment on December 8th, when these issues on homelessness that I'm reading through now came up, were those who said, repeal the sleeping ban. Get some shelter going for the winter. This is our input. Person after person gave different versions of this, different personal experiences supporting this. And what was the response? The response was essentially nothing from Mayor Byers. She was going to push on with her agenda regardless of what she heard on that floor. Regardless of how much expert testimony she heard, she was pressing forward. And regardless of what other council members wanted to do, she was going to crush those initiatives, and she did. She crushed the Crone Human Rights Initiative. She hobbled it by eliminating blankets. She crushed completely the Sugar Initiative by a number of direct means, by voting not to have an emergency piece of legislation on the January 12th agenda. She voted not to have... Let me pick this up. She voted not to deal with the issue at all. And essentially, she has her own agenda. She's going to press on with it. And it's sort of bizarre to me because I guess she feels she has to show a certain kind of leadership here. And the leadership is a much more militant form of control of the city council than we're used to from seeing under Mayor Scott. I've already mentioned that Mayor Byers cut back oral communications time to 2 minutes for every speaker. That wasn't oral communications, it was the public comment period during this item. And that cut off everybody's speech because they came thinking they were going to have 3 minutes to speak. It was very rude of her, but more important, it was unsympathetic. It fundamentally cut off a lot of the force of the arguments of the speakers. When I spoke to her before this council meeting, she had told me she was interested in meeting with business people about this, and she had to clear stuff with business people. In a way, that kind of speaks for itself. She got her input that she wanted from the business community, and she couldn't care less about the input from the general community. This is turning public process on its head. This is using the appearance of a public process to continue doing your prearranged agenda. This is what the old council did. This is not good. This is not right. And it is really important that the community call Mayor Byers on this. I don't think she's beyond redemption. I think she needs to be told this is not the way to go. She needs to be told that it's important to allow a real democratic process here. And that doesn't just mean going out and soliciting the most conservative views you can find from neighborhood groups where the entire neighborhood hasn't been informed, but instead a bunch of right-wingers got together, said, we're the neighborhood group, invited in three council members, as apparently they did, at Pelton Street and the downtown neighbors, and held closed meetings with them from which all the rest of us were excluded and all the rest of the people in those neighborhoods were excluded. So something bad is going on, folks, around this whole process. And this, you know, you may be thinking, gosh, we got a great new council, we can do stuff here, you know, they're just rolling right ahead. But take another look.
Hi, you're on Radio Santa Cruz, or Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, on the issue of opening up the neighborhood meetings, we really need a lot of volunteers to come forward right now to organize some, oh, I guess probably about 3,800, 3,200 signatories to the Sleepman Initiative along neighborhood lines, and we should have all those neighborhood clusters by December 30th, and we're going to need people to match them with phone numbers and call them out. And whenever we hear of a supposed neighborhood association meeting, we need to make sure that the actual neighbors in that neighborhood know about it, and the best way to do that is to, of course, call our own people first, because that's who we can trust. So we need people to call in and volunteer at 457-9754, extension 182. We're really going to need your help, especially between Christmas and New Year's. Right now we need it, just people willing to call the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Man, some 162 names, so we can have our Don't Defecate Tonight night on December 21st. Instead of our usual Don't Sleep Tonight night, we're going to somehow make some kind of symbolic message towards the porta-potta crisis. Or if the porta-potta crisis is beginning to be solved, then we'll do our blanket ban. That's at the town clock at 11 p.m. on the 21st. We don't think it's wise to do it on the 31st. We'll get lost in the milieu. So we will have a Don't Sleep Tonight night action, a sleep fast action on December 21st. But we need people to volunteer to do a lot of phoning. We've got more numbers than volunteers right now, people, because everybody feels, I guess in some respects, that this has been won. But now is when we really need to show presence. That number again, 457-9754, extension 182. Please call.
Thank you, David.
Sure.
Yeah, again, the number for those who want to assist David in gathering together these lists of thousands of, hundreds and thousands of names, actually, all in all, to find out who's where, who's what, and to get the neighborhood groups together to actually let the city council know that there's generally support for ending these bans, as far as we know, and these sleeping in blanket bans. Give a call to 457-9754, extension 182. 457-9754, extension 182. And if you want to call in here on our free radio talk line, give a call to 427-3772. 427-3772. Lines are open now, so hey, listen, maybe you disagree. Maybe you feel it's a great thing to have a way to arrest messy campers. That's been an argument that people have had for a while. Well, you know, what are you going to do about these messy campers if you get rid of that sleeping ban? I mean, it's going to become more difficult to prove that that banana peel on the ground or that piece of toilet paper over there is theirs. I mean, then, you know, you got to find some way to hook one up with the other. I'm not even going to go into that argument now, but whatever arguments you want to go into, we are here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, talking about civil rights for the poor, talking about the City Council's December 8th discussions, or lack of discussions, around the sleeping ban. And indeed, they did. There was something about it sort of on the agenda, not really as a law change, but as a kind of series of cautionary points and general considerations and future projections. And that was the first time that that has really happened in 20 years. And that is real. That is true. I don't want to diminish that. I'm talking, however, about where we're going, how far we've gotten, how far we need to go, and what we need to do to get there. As I said, there were 8 points passed. The first three talked about more studies, about a monthly report for shelter services, a survey of the churches, how to improve the armory shelter. The fourth point directed the mayor and two council members to look into the camping ban and come back in February. The fifth point was supposedly the point that would protect people, homeless people outside, while the liberals were, you know, toasting marshmallows by their fireplace and not camping, mind you, because it was in their own house. Not covering up with blankets illegally because it was in their house, not sleeping because it was in their own beds, while outside homeless people were suffering all those disabilities because Byers and her majority couldn't get it together to pass an interim repeal measure as they should have on December 8th or go into a special session on the 15th or the 22nd or the 29th. Instead, we have this Measure 5, direct that whenever reasonable and practicable, warnings rather than citations shall be issued by city enforcement personnel. Also, the enforcement of camping violations shall emphasize responses to citizens' complaints. Again, it's kind of a mealy-mouthed way of saying ticket only on complaint after warning. And when I talked to, I believe it was Christopher Crone, right before the council meeting, he told me, well, the police chief suggested that approach, which to me automatically should have raised a warning flag a mile high. But apparently Catherine Byers liked the idea, and she went with this kind of language. But of course, as we've said repeatedly on this show, and as those of you who've read what I've written about it and came to the council meetings know, this is what the police have always said. Oh, we only ticket after warning people, or if there's some high abuse area, or if there's a protest. And we only ticket people on complaint, generally. These are lies. That's it. There's really nothing more to be said. They're lies. They were lies when they were said about the last year's police stats. They're still lies. And Byers plays into these lies by essentially reiterating what is the current police rationalization and cover for their real policy, which is ticketing whenever they feel like it, which is harassing even more frequently whenever they feel like it. And as I said at the beginning of the show, we've had reports even after this so-called restriction was passed by the city council, the very next night, according to a Feed the People worker, 5 citations were issued on vans up at Swift and Fair Streets, in the area where some of the Feed the People vehicles are sometimes park at night where people sleep in them because there is no legal shelter for 500 to 1,500 homeless people. The mantra I keep chanting, but which remains indisputably true.